Thank the Lord for the fact that I'm still saved. I can say it again. And I thank the Lord for how faithful He's been to me. All the things that all of us have been through, the Lord's been faithful to all of us.
Yes.
Even folks that don't feel like He has been, He has been.
Yes.
If they could see the other side of it, they could see that the Lord, as the Scripture says, is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward. He's been long-suffering to every one of us. And I thank the Lord for that. I want to talk today about the weapon of prayer and how important prayer is. I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and I want to begin reading at the third verse. If you have it, you can read it for us. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3.
For though we walk
in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
For the weapons of our
warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. All right, that's good enough. So it says that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So it brings us a very clear picture here that we're in some type of a warfare. We think there's a war that's going on in that America is a part of over in Afghanistan. The war supposedly in Iraq has just is coming to a conclusion. And one of the things that I've noted about wars is that there are going to be, it's a very expensive endeavor. And it requires sacrifice on various people's part. And part of the sacrifice is an ultimate sacrifice of individuals' lives. But when we talk to you about spiritual warfare, that there is a spiritual warfare that is going on even as we speak. It is not on some front that's over in a foreign country somewhere. And it's not someplace that we're not involved in. It is going on right in your own home. It's going on right in this building right here. It's going on right in our neighborhoods. There is a spiritual warfare that is going on. The enemy is trying to take control. And what God desires of His people is for us to find the place that God would have us to stand and us to stand there. All right? So it says here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not some guns that we get and we start shooting things with. That's not what it's all about. But there is something that's very important for us to understand. And one of the things that we feel like the Lord would have us to make it very clear to us today and open it up maybe in a way that we can better understand is that prayer is one of our greatest weapons. It's one of the best things that we can utilize, and it's one of the simplest of weapons that we have. We take, for instance, that a simple rock that's not very big. You can take a rock and you can stand right here and you have a good arm. You can make that rock hit anything within this building. All right? And one of the things that that rock becomes is a weapon. We see how David, we know the story of David and Goliath. And how Goliath comes to David to slay, and he defies the whole army of Israel, which represents the church of God. This big giant is coming and he's going to fight the whole church. And everybody is afraid of it. And David is a young boy that determines in his mind that all we have to do is trust in the Lord. And we can take the things that are very simple weapons and instruments, and we can slay this big giant in the name of the Lord. He says, you come to me with swords and staves. I come to you in the name of the Lord. That is a type of prayer. And so, in essence, what David does, he picks him out to five smooth stones, and he puts them in a slingshot, and he realizes that all I have to do is take this little weapon is a very simple, the simplest of weapons, probably, that we have, and I can take it, and I can actually focusing on a particular place, and I can bring down whatever giants that there are in our lives. So David takes the sling, he takes the stone, he twirls it, and he lets it go, and it hits Goliath right smack dab in the forehead. And what does Goliath do? But he falls flat because that little simple weapon that didn't seem like you, how many of us would go against a man that's 13 feet tall with a rock? But I want us to understand the simplicity of prayer. It's a very simple thing. And I want us to understand the simplicity of a rock and what a rock was able to do. David was able to stand here, and from this vantage point, David was able to take that stone and sling it and hit Goliath several feet away. Now, what that tells me is that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what it tells me is that in a spiritual battle, when we are facing the giants and when we're facing things that seem like they are much greater than we are, we don't have to come into contact with them. All we have to do is like David did. We stand here and with a simple prayer and a faith in the living God, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then that, what happens is I can take the prayer and I can focus that prayer on the giant that is coming and facing me, and I can bring that giant down with prayer. It's simple. It's nothing great. It's nothing grand. It's not anything that somebody has to go to seminary school to learn. It is having a communication with God and coming to the point of, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to know your power. I want to know who you are. I want to know what I want the power of God in my life. And how do I get that? I get that with a simple weapon of prayer. I can send this weapon anywhere that I want to go. You know, one of the things that we have in our arsenal as far as America is concerned, one of the greatest nations and one of the most powerful nations militarily, we have bombs, don't we? Little grenades. Sometimes we have a little grenade that we need to lob to throw something, to blow something up. And we just take a grenade and they take the pin out of it and they throw it where it needs to go and it blows something up, but that's in pretty close proximity with us, right? But then they have other bombs that they take and they go up in the air and they drop them down on certain areas and destroy those areas to stop the enemy's progression. And then there are some that they actually can send. They don't even have to go there. They put in the coordinates. They know exactly what they want it to hit, and it's called, what, a guided missile. Send it off of a ship, send it off of a submarine, send it off of land, and that guided missile, wherever it is, can go miles, hundreds, and thousands of miles and hit its target. Now, in the same way, those are a little bit more sophisticated than what we see with a little stone, but it's the same principle. All right? The same simplistic principle. Do you realize that there are going to be sometimes in your experience that what you're going to need to do is to send a guided missile, which is a simple prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. Yeah. Teach us the importance of prayer. I'm learning that. The Lord is teaching me that, that there is a great importance in the saints of God praying for whatever it is that you need. Not thinking it through, not trying to come up with your own solutions, but actually bombarding it with prayer. And when we bombard it with prayer, let me tell you, something is going to happen. I believe that. Lord, help us. Now, let's go a little further here. Let's go to, let me finish here. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are some things that we cannot do. There are some strongholds. There are some places in people's lives. All of us know somebody, and we have, to some degree, some strongholds in our own lives that we need the Lord to help. But these are defenses. And you know, maybe you had a terrible childhood, and maybe there are some situations that you put up defenses and you don't let anybody in. So you put up this fort around you and nobody can penetrate that fort. Do you know that in order for you to actually have a fulfilled life, then you're going to have to let somebody in your life. You have to let somebody in emotionally. And so what we have to do when you cannot get through to somebody that has put up some defenses, or maybe the enemy has damaged their minds in some kind of a way, and it doesn't seem like they're able to grasp things. You know, the best way to pull down that stronghold is not going and trying to counsel with those people. I've learned that over the years. Sometimes we want to sit down and we want to talk and we want to try to convince somebody to change their ways, right? Have you ever been in a situation like that? You wanted to convince them, and you just thought, if I could just get a hold of this person and just make them see my point and make them see it from another perspective, then things would be a lot better for them and me as well. But it seemed like the more you talk to them, the more adamant they became in their position. You know, my natural disposition is optimism. I am a very optimistic person. Sometimes that's not always good. But generally, I think better than being pessimistic. But one of the things I've always thought, well, just maybe if I could just talk to them, they can see. So I'm telling you this from my experience, and the Lord began to say, stop talking to these folks. You talk to me about them. You don't have to go around talking to somebody else about what these people are doing. You talk to God about what they're doing. And you know what? The Lord can change some things in people's lives. That's part of our weaponry. That's part of it. So it says that the weapons are not carnal, but they can pull down strongholds. And they can pull down defenses that people have built up. They can pull down ideas and ideologies and things that people have, paradigms that people have set up in their minds. Do you realize that only the power and the grace of God is going to be able to do it? Not my talking to them. So I've come to the conclusion that when I'm tempted to want to talk to them about changing their ways, the best thing for me to do is it is a call to prayer for me to go to God and say, Lord, would you deal with those individuals? Would you change their minds? Would you talk to them? And do you know what? The Lord has an ability to do it. I just leave it in His hands. I've gotten more success with that than me talking to them. All right? So pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, you know, in our own minds, sometimes our imaginations get the best of us. Sometimes we have these, if only, a very imaginative type of person. And we have these, if only. And you know what? Sometimes we need to pray and ask the Lord to sanctify our imagination. Because sometimes we feel like our imagination is supreme. And we cannot do it. There's no way that we can be wrong and we can be just as wrong and believing we're just as right. So what gets that? Prayer. Saints, I believe the Lord wants us to have a better grasp and a better understanding of prayer and how important prayer is in the battle that we're facing. All right, let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 10th verse. Let's read that very familiar text of Scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not in the power of your own might, but in the power of God's might. We understand that this is a warfare, that the enemy is coming against my soul and yours. He's going to do everything that he possibly can to destroy us, to get us deceived, to go in another direction. Our responsibility is to seek the Lord. Lord, I want to stand in the power of your might. All right, read. Put on the whole armor, not just some of it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's the wiles of the devil? Tricks of the devil. Let me tell you, one of the best way to deceive a person is to stir as much truth in a, and I'm putting truth in the quotations here, stir as much verifiable accuracy in the equation. Put as much in the ingredients as possible that can be verified. Let me tell you, there are folks all right now, here today, in various places that are going after things that are wrong. They are false according to the Scripture. But the devil has a wile. He's come in there and he has twisted things and they don't even see that what they're doing is wrong. Lord, help us. This is why I say oftentimes, you and I need to have a conviction for ourselves. It's not just something. Our faith and what we're believing in should not stand in the wisdom of men, but it's in the power of God. And what that means is that I am not just listening to what Brother Darrell is saying when he's standing up here preaching. I am looking at what the Word of God is saying. I am endeavoring by the grace of God to live like the Word says. I don't want it easier than what I need it. I don't want it harder than what it's supposed to be. I want it just like the Lord would have me to have it. If you're like that, saint, you'll make it to heaven. You're not trying to cut a corner. You're not trying to go the long way. You're just saying, Lord, I want to go the way that you would have me to go. And when you do that, the Lord will be faithful to show you what way to go. All right, so he says, finally, brethren, in the end, this is what I want you to do. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is a real battle. It is a real spiritual battle. It is not against the people that are coming against you. How many times have folks got on your nerves? How many times have people come against you and talked about you and talked all manner of evil against you? How many times has that happened? You're not to put your eyes on that individual. You're to put your eyes behind that individual. There is an enemy of their soul that is using that individual to try to bring you down. Lord, help us. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you know one of the things that I see that is happening in today's day and time is that there is so many demon spirits that are out today, and let me tell you, they are starring in all kinds of movies. And they're just being very blatant in what they are. Some of the things that you see. Let me tell you, that movie Avatar, I don't believe that's nothing but demons. You know, some of those movies, Lord of the Rings and all these things that are going on today, those are demons. You know what they do? What they do is there is something beautiful. When you look, y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, I ain't seen the movie. But I've seen some things about it, right? It's this monster. But it's almost beautiful. The color. You know what I'm talking about? The color is the scales, and there's something that's almost it's this between where they take something that is beautiful and stick it with something that's grotesque, and when you put it together, you don't quite know whether or not to throw up or to embrace it. And so that's exactly what it is. And so it causes you to compromise and come to the conclusion that I'm going to compromise, and this part of it is nice, and this part of it is grotesque. Let me tell you, they're doing it all over the place, all in the movies. They're doing this thing, and what it is, it's causing us to embrace something that we would normally embrace. We would normally be repulsed by it, but they are putting enough beauty in it that causes us to embrace it. And the storyline is such a good storyline that it causes us, because ultimately, even though evil tries to rear its head, the ultimate thing is that good always prevails. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But we're wrestling against principalities all down through the Bible. People were plagued by demons. But you better not say nothing about it today, because you'll hurt somebody's feelings. When you say to them that, you know what, I think that you sympathize with something that's not right. I think it's a demonic influence. See, that's why I don't want to go to y'all's church. Y'all always judging. It's the truth. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Some folks, the reason they're having problems that they're having is because there is demonic influence in their lives. And they need to acknowledge it, and they need to renounce it, and they need to pray and ask the Lord to deliver them from that. And the only way you and I are going to do it is not being said. Now, you cannot reason with the demon. So what do? You're going to have to send a guided missile. You're going to have to say, Lord, I am targeting what is targeting that individual. And that person doesn't even know that they're being targeted by a demonic spirit. And so what do? Do we get mad at him and say, well, if you don't talk to me, I ain't got to talk to you either. We're tempted that way, aren't we? But you know what? You don't have to talk to him. And I've learned that. You don't have to talk to him, but you be nice to him and you pray for him. And you send the power of prayer to them, because the only way for those people to get relieved and released from these things is that the power of God is going to be able to do it. Do you know what the Lord does sometimes? Sometimes I see people, I click on the internet, and I'm seeing these people that are so actors and actresses and singers and all these things. And I think, you know what? They don't even understand that they're being bound by these things.
And you know what? I thought, how are they going to get out? I thought about Lindsay Lohan and all this. You know what? That woman is bound by a spirit of the enemy. How is she going to get free? Do you know what the Lord does every now and then? He puts people on my heart. I don't even know them. Whitney Houston just died. And you know what? My heart goes out to her family. But you know what my thought is? You know what? How many other Whitney Houstons are there that need to be delivered from the power of sin, that need to be delivered from demonic influences? How many other ones are out there? And whose responsibility is it to pray for those people? Do you know I can pray for those people and they never know I'm praying for them? And somewhere, somehow, the Lord can bring them in contact with somebody. They'll probably never come in contact with me. But because of my praying for these people that are that I'll never be able to touch or ever be able to see, I can take a simple prayer and say, Lord, talk to them before they go out to meet you.
Right.
Deal with them and call them out by name. You know, I remember one sister over in when we first got married, Sister Audrey Dunbar. You know, she would always pray for Michael Jackson. She sent him a letter and sent him some tracks. Well, I don't know what good it did or not, but I do know somebody was praying for Michael Jackson. And you know what? I believe the Lord dealt with Michael Jackson. And also, it's good for us, saints of God. These folks, we'll never know if we had anything to do with them getting to heaven, but some of them are going to make it simply because we're praying for them. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there are demons and demonic influences behind the music and the movie. I don't even know why I got on that today. That wasn't even part of my notes. But let me tell you, there's demonic influence. And let me tell you, I was listening to something the other day. I'm not going to tell you where I heard it from. But I was listening to, I happened to be somewhere, and I heard I think it's by the Black Eyed Peas. I think that's what it's by. There's a group called Black Eyed Peas, right?
Yeah.
Y'all know what it is. Don't be trying to play like you don't. And at the beginning of this thing, it said, welcome to the end. There is no need to repent. Do not be afraid. There is no need to repent. There's nothing to fear. And then it goes off into this rapping stuff. So I thought, is that what that says? No need to. I think that's what it says. Now, I don't know for sure, but that's what it sounded like it said to me. Do you know what? That's nothing but a demonic influence. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against people. But let me tell you, when the thoughts are put into our minds, we have to do something with those thoughts. When there is this suggestion to us, we have to do something with the suggestions that are presented to us. And so what we have to do, saints of God, is you need to know this for yourself. You don't need to know it because of me. You don't need to know it because of the person that stands up and you're following a man. Yes, follow me as I follow Christ. I want you to do that because I believe what I'm living is to the best of my understanding and to the best of my ability. I'm trying to make it to heaven. I don't want to just be a good man here and everybody look up to me. I want to go to heaven because eternity is too long for me not to. And so I'm endeavoring by the grace of God to live the kind of a life that other people can follow me. And let me tell you, the folks in my home when the doors are closed, they can testify whether or not I'm endeavoring to live right. If they can't testify, I don't need to be up here. When my wife and my children cannot testify that I'm endeavoring to live like a holy man of God, then there's something wrong with the whole ministry. I need to step down, right? All right. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality. There are principalities, and this is why we have to say to the young people, listen. You be careful what you put before you, what you set before you. You be careful what you let go into your ears and bump de boom de boom de boom boom. You be careful about that. You know why you be careful about that? Because there is a demon spirit that is over that thing and it knows how to wind reel you in. It knows exactly what a person in that age. I'm not just talking about young folks, but all of us. Because some don't like the boom, the boom, the boom. They like the little jazz. They put a little jazz in it.
and it kind of soothes you and it kind of turns everything down and all this. But you know what? There's a spirit over that as well. Oh, Brother Darrell, there you go. You stop me when I'm not right anymore. We are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me tell you, the best thing for us to do about this election and about every election is to pray. Because it doesn't matter who gets in there, he's going to do something that we don't want him to do. You'll be a Republican this time. It doesn't really matter. We don't like, this group don't like Obama, and this group didn't like Bush, and this group don't like that. What difference does it make? They're all the same. And so what do? Can we really get somebody in there? Let me tell you what I really believe. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a kingdom of this world. Now, Obama thought he was going to get in there and change a bunch of stuff, didn't he? And what he found out, that he was up against something that was far more powerful than one little man that had all the momentum and all the folks behind him, and he started trying to change things and he couldn't do it. You know why he couldn't do it? Because there is a power that is greater than Obama. But let me tell you, there's a power that's greater than that power. So it doesn't matter if Romney or Gingrich or Paul or Santorum or Obama, it doesn't matter who's going to get in there. You need to be praying. You need to be lobbing all kind of bombs at that White House. And at every other, the man over in Iran, what's his name?
Yeah.
What's his name? Ahmadinejad. That man is a dangerous man.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, we're trying to stop them from getting nuclear weapons. What right do we have to stop them from getting nuclear weapons? We got them. And he's saying, you stay in America, I stay in Iran, I can do what I want to in Iran. Well, that's his country. But you know what? I'll tell you how we can stop him from getting nuclear weapons.
That's right.
Where the saints of God go to prayer and we say, Lord, block it.
Amen.
And you know the Lord will block it. Let me tell you, it'll happen. I'm going to tell you a little story. My wife is on this little prayer line with a bunch of old ladies. And I like that prayer line. They stay on that out for hours. And let me tell you, they start praying about something, in a few weeks you see some changes. You know why? Because we were talking about this the other day, and she brought it up, and so I'm going to let her preach a little bit, but she said, what happens is there's an agreement there.
Yeah.
It's not that we don't have something, one has something against another, and another one has something against, we're just that simple. If you heard them pray, they're not praying these fiery prayers. It's not some Lord Jesus, and sweating, and beating up, there it's just Lord. You see this situation, and we ask you that you have. That's about how they pray. And Lord, have mercy on us. You can change that. And you know what? The Lord changes us. He said, if you can believe whatsoever things you ask for in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. It is one of our greatest weapons. And let me tell you, I've seen some changes that have happened when we have gotten together and we come in an agreement of prayer, saying, let's agree, let's not allow anything to come between us. Says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You don't let anything come between you and your brother. You may need that brother one day to pray in an agreement that we come and fight against the enemy of our souls. All right, that's what it's all about. Prayer is a simple weapon that we can just say, Lord, have mercy when we're about to have an accident in the Lord. I will tell you, it happened the other day. I'm driving down the road, and my wife and I, I see this car coming out of a driveway. It was a truck that had a trailer, and there was this big box truck between us, and I just knew this truck saw us. And he didn't see us. I think he missed me that much. He came all the way over. I'm in the far lane. He's over coming out, and he came all the way over and hit me. I had to go all the way over saying, Lord, have mercy. And do you suppose that a simple prayer like, Lord, have mercy, kept me from having an accident? Oh, that was just lucky. That was really lucky that time, wasn't I? No, it was the mercy of God. It was a simple act of prayer that put a cushion between me and that man. When I say I don't believe that he missed me more than that much, I am not exaggerating. And let me tell you, prayer can put a cushion between you and a whole lot of problems. And just a simple prayer, just a little stone that you pick up. Let me say this. Have you ever had a dog charging you and you reach down and you have a rock in your hand? I've seen them stop dead in their tracks simply because they don't know if I've got one or not. But they are afraid of me throwing it at them. Now, if I can stop a dog from charging me, don't you suppose I can stop the devil by taking a simple prayer and saying, one step, one more step.
Right.
Become one more step. Right. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Yes. Let me tell you, what does it say? Resist the devil. What happens? He'll do what? He'll turn around and slink away. No, he's going to run. Yes. Why? Because he realizes and understands the power that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand?
God.
Do you understand? Do you understand what we have available to us on a rare everyday basis? A simple prayer, a simple rock, a simple something. Somebody's acting up at work. What do we do?
Pray.
That's right. That's right. Do we talk about it, get a little huddle around the water cooler and say, well, they shouldn't be doing that? Pray.
That's right.
Amen. It's the weapon. It'll stop them. It'll put the cushion. It'll put the cushion between you and that old boss that you can't hardly stand. You need a little more grace for. Pray. So what do? Sister Ava put in a request about some situations on her job. Can I tell the story? All right. A situation on her job where Renee and somebody else was getting fired and they didn't want to get fired anymore. They didn't want to be fired. You know what happened? They are not going to be fired. You know why? Somebody was praying. She brought it to the church. Let me tell you, these little Wednesday night prayer meetings, it ain't much. It's just a few of us, both of us. It don't seem like we pray these fiery prayers, but I guarantee you that they have an effect. What does the scripture say? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You live right and you pray. You get to know how to fight with these weapons, the weapon of prayer. Let me tell you, you can have whatsoever you ask for. That means I can have anything I want if I just pray and I believe. Absolutely. Saints, pray. When you're sick, pray. When you're happy, pray. When things come against you, when you're in a fearful situation, pray. When you're in a situation that you don't know how to deal with or what to do, and you don't know how to turn it around, pray. Pray, pray, pray. You know how the old, if you need sufficient grace in this holy Christian race, what does it say? Pray on till the answer comes. You don't have an answer yet, keep praying. Sometimes we can be impatient. And we prayed about it. Well, Lord, I've prayed about it 3 times and 4 times, and it doesn't seem to me. Has he given me an answer? No. Then keep praying.
That's right. Amen.
Keep praying. Well, Lord, it seems like it's gotten worse before it gets better. Let's go to another scripture. Daniel 10, verse 11. Sometimes it does get worse before it gets better. But that doesn't mean it's not going to get better. All right. Daniel. Yes.
O Daniel, a man greatly beloved.
Yes.
Understand the words that I speak.
Let's back up and get the full essence of that. This is when Daniel sat to pray for 3 and 20 or 1 and 20 days. Is that the whole? Maybe I need you to go up a little bit. Let's see. 10 and. Let's go to the second verse.
In those days,
I was mourning 3 full weeks. So Daniel was praying for 3 full weeks. All right.
I ate no pleasant bread.
Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth.
Neither did I
anoint myself at all
till 3 whole weeks
were fulfilled. So he needed something from the Lord, and he was praying about it. Fasting and praying. And then the 4th and 20th day of the first month, read.
As I was by the side of the great river which you cried down.
Yes.
Then I lifted up
mine eyes.
And I looked and behold,
a certain man clothed in linen.
His loins were girded with fine gold
and topaz.
His body
of Euphaz.
Yes. His face as the appearance of lightning.
Yes.
Eyes
as a lamp of fire.
And
his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass.
And the voice of
his words were like the voice of a multitude.
And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision.
For
the men that were with me saw not
the vision. They didn't see the vision.
But a great
A great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. My comeliness was turned in me into corruption. I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me up on my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. This is in the presence of an angel. This is in the presence of an angel that the Lord sent a messenger. And I wonder how many times does the Lord send messengers to us as we have been praying to help us and we just can't see them. And the Lord is there with us. And if we could just open up, just pull back the curtains of the spirit world, and we'd be able to see that there is an angel standing here with me right now. There's an angel with you right now. There are demons that are endeavoring to come against us, but we are fighting in the army of the Lord. And we can stand firm and strong. And as we seek and yield ourselves to the Lord, then we give the angel that is there with us the power to be able to come against the powers that come against us. Alright? Alright, so then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for your words. So in other words, let me tell you, no matter how often you pray, you may pray and it seems like the Lord is completely silent. This is what he was with Daniel. And it was 3 weeks that Daniel was praying and seeking the Lord and fasting, and there was nothing that he, no sign, no outward sign that the Lord even heard him until now. Alright? He said, I heard you the first day. I heard you the first day. And in essence, the Lord was answering your prayer and had a desire and a will to answer your prayer, the first prayer that you heard. But what were you doing? You kept praying. And why did you keep praying? Because that prayer was strengthening the angel of the Lord to be able to fight the enemy of our soul, of Daniel's soul. Now read the rest of it. Prince of the kingdom of Persia, he withstood me 1 and 20 days. How many days did Daniel pray? 1 and 20 days, 21 days. And how many days did the king, prince of Persia withstand him? 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, what this is talking about is not just a literal king of Persia. It is talking about the demonic forces behind that king. And so what we have here is Daniel that realizing and understanding that all of a sudden it's coming to his understanding that 1 and 20 days, the king of Persia withstood me, and I stood there. I didn't give up any ground. Do you notice he didn't say that he was knocking me back? No, but there are some times he said, what does the scripture say in Ephesians? After you've done all to stand, what do? You stand. You just stand there. Having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of right, all of these, your whole armor, you have your whole armor and you stand there. And there are some times that you may not make progress, but you will not retreat.
Amen.
And this is what happened. So this angel is here and he said, you know what? He came and he withstood me and he said that you'll be able to stand in the evil day. And he did not say I was barely able to make it, I was struggling. He said, no, I didn't have everything I needed to go forward, but I wasn't going to go back. And so he stood there. He stood there, and Persia, king of Persia, coming against him, and he's coming against the king of Persia. Then he said, the Lord sent Michael, the archangel, down to help me. And then there was no contest. And this is why I'm here now, because Michael, I guess it was just the two of them. I don't know how many forces of evil came against them, but let me tell you, there are myriad forces of evil coming against you and me today, coming against the church today. Saints, you stand firm. You stand where the Lord has shown you to stand. There are a lot of things that are bombarding us, a lot of bombs that the enemy is lobbing our way and blowing folks up all around us. But you stand.
Amen.
After you've done all to stand, you stand.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if everybody, all the buildings around me fall, I can stand in Christ my all in all. You can stand by the grace of God. You pray. You seek the Lord. You ask the Lord, Lord, give me the kind of power that I need to be able to stand in this evil day. And after I've done everything that I know to do, then all you do is stand. You may not be able to go forward, saints, sometimes. But you will not retreat. I will not step backward. You set your feet and you stand. And you don't stand like this here. You stand like this. You're fighting and you're not going to give up an inch. I'm not giving up anything. Any ground that the Lord has given me, I won't give it up. By the help and the grace of God. You don't have to. Pray. Pray. Pray again. And keep praying. This man prayed for 21 days. Now read.
Now I'm come
to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became done. All right, now he comes, he's asking something of the Lord. And the Lord wants to tell Daniel, but there are forces that are coming against Daniel and against God, if you will, to prevent the answer from getting to you. And so what is our responsibility is just to keep praying. Just keep praying. That's what Daniel did. So there is this stronghold, so to speak, that the enemy would have to stop us, to discourage us. Well, you prayed about it and the Lord hadn't done anything. He don't love you like he really, you're not really living right. And these things that if God really was the kind of God that you said he was, then he would have answered you by now. Not necessarily. He did. He heard him the first day. He already answered it. It is whether or not I can stand and be patient enough until the answer comes to me. But the answer is already there. I have to believe. I'm serving a God that is a great God. He's greater than all of my problems. He's greater than the devils, all the devils in hell. God is greater than them, and I believe that. I believe that. Yeah. All right, I want to read another scripture. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 11, verse 15. We're going to try to move toward our conclusion. Appreciate your patience. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 15.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Keep going.
16.
He was in the hold.
Philistines,
the garrison was then at Bethlehem.
And David longed
and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate." This is just something this man wanted. Now, he had some water, but he said, "Oh, that if I could just have the water from Bethlehem." I don't know why David necessarily wanted that. Maybe it was just nostalgia. Maybe it was just he realized that what you have to understand is they were besieged, and the Philistines were there, and it was a strong garrison, a place where the warriors of the enemy army, and they couldn't penetrate that garrison to be able to go into Bethlehem to get the water that David wanted. Let's see what happens. Three break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord and said, "My God forbid me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives, they brought it. Therefore, he would not drink it." These things, these three mightiest. All right, so we're talking about three mighty men. Now, let me tell you something that we said in the midst of this. Let me tell you, husband and wife, you do everything you can to have an agreement.
Amen.
You let not the sun go down in your wrath. Let me tell you something. I've been married a few years, and I know that wives can do things to husbands that not necessarily that they like, and vice versa. You have an agreement, and you keep that agreement. So that when it comes time to pray for something, you can pray for it. These men were three mighty men. They were in perfect agreement. They heard what David wanted, and he wanted a drink of water out of the well of Bethlehem. And when you go out there, all you see is this army of the Philistines that is surrounding this city. But these men are going to go through that army and get what he needs. Now, you know, it took an agreement. These men sat down and said, "We can do it. I believe we can do it. I believe the Lord can help us do it." None of them said, "No, you crazy. I'm not going to go. I'm not doing that. That puts our life in jeopardy." They didn't say that. All of them were willing to give their lives. All of them were there fighting together. You know what? My life for your life. And they went in an agreement, and they went through it one time and came back through it and brought David what he needed. Let me tell you, there are times that we need breakthroughs.
Amen.
And do you know the only way that we can get them is that it takes two or three of us agreeing in prayer to have that breakthrough. Lord, we need something. We need the devil smashed here. Let me tell you, he comes against us. He comes against us as families. He comes against us as congregations. He comes against us as communities. He comes against us as a nation. And what is it going to take? The devil besieges us all around. How many times have we been in situations where our families, where the enemy seems like he's come in and fought our family? You endeavor to keep the unity in your family. You do whatever it takes, but you don't allow the enemy to destroy your family. You say, "Over my dead body."
Amen.
And you fight with prayer.
Yes.
You don't have to go and talk to them, but you fight with prayer. And when you come together, you can break through. When there is an agreement that you have, you can break through what the enemy is trying to do to the church, to the congregation, to the family, to the world.
Amen.
We need a breakthrough, don't we?
Yes.
So what did they do? They broke through what the place where the enemy had them besieged because they had an agreement. If two can agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of our Father which is in heaven. But you're going to have to be persistent. Just like Daniel was, you might have to pray for 21 days, or 21 months, or 21 years. But you keep praying. You keep praying. You don't give up. What does the scripture say in Ephesians? It says, praying always. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto. All perseverance and supplication. What does that mean? What does that mean? With all perseverance. That means I've got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
I can't get discouraged because it doesn't seem like the answer is coming. Do you know what? Sometimes it does seem to get worse before it gets better. I've been in situations like that. It seems like, well, Lord, it seems like if you really meant to do this, then things would get better from the time that I pray. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's a test of our faith. Sometimes the Lord is wanting to say, are you going to believe? Are you going to pray without ceasing? Are you going to pray without stopping? Are you going to pray with all perseverance? Are you going to keep praying until the answer comes? Saints, one of the things that the enemy is trying to take away from us is our prayer life, the weapon of our prayers. And let me tell you, when we can pray and we can seek the Lord for the things that we're desiring, and we ask the Lord, "Lord, have mercy." Do you know that you can move a mountain with prayer?
Yes.
You can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea," and it'll obey you. But you're going to have to pray. And you're going to have to believe. What does it say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you believe that the Lord is going to reward you if you diligently seek Him? Then keep praying. Don't stop. I've seen people get discouraged about how their life is. There's one place in the Scripture about this man that comes to the Lord and says, "Lord, my son, he's grievously vexed with the devil." Now, and he said, "And I went to your disciples, and they will cast him out, and they couldn't do it." He said, "If you can do anything, then deliver us and help us. Help us." He said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible with them that believe." And then what did he do? He commanded that the spirit come out of the child, and what did the spirit do? It rent him sore. And he was left as one dead. At least he had a son at first. And now it looks like his son is dead. The very thing that God wanted to deliver this boy out of, it seemed like the enemy said, "I'm not coming out unless I'm going to try to tear up everything I possibly can. I've got to come out, but I'm going to tear up everything that I possibly can on my way out." And sometimes that's what you've got. Sometimes the devil is on his way out and he's just ranting and raving and scratching and screaming and all this kind of stuff. And things are getting worse before they get better, but he's coming out, and you just put your bead on it, and you can just say, "You know, you got this, your bead on it," and that's what prayer is.
Amen.
Open both barrels. Pray.
So he came out, and what did Jesus do? Jesus touched him and lifted him up. The Lord can do anything. With men, it's impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. You know what he's able to do? He says unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The Lord is able to do it, saints, if we're able to believe. Sometimes the only thing that hinders him from doing it is the fact that we don't believe. And the only reason he didn't do it is the fact that we didn't ask him to. You have not because why? You don't ask. And so how do you ask? You ask in prayer. What things soever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And so may the Lord help us to understand the value of this weapon. It's a simple weapon, just like a little rock. It doesn't have to be huge, and it doesn't have to be extravagant. But it's a simple rock that you can throw, and you can hit anything. You can pray against people. You can pray for people that don't even know you're praying for them. It can reach some place over in Iraq, Afghanistan, India, Africa, Washington, D.C., New York. Right from my little prayer closet, I can pray for anybody and anything, and the Lord will do something about it. Pray, saints, pray. It's your weapon, pray.
Praise God.
Let's stand.